Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Networks on Sunday, December 11th, 2016. My sister's birthday. Happy birthday, Eva. This is episode 1348. Before we get to the show, I want to remind you we're doing our best ofs. If you've got a suggestion for a best of any of our shows on the podcast network, please go to twit.tv/best of. There's a lot of fields. You don't have to fill them all out. But if there's something that you saw or you heard on one of our shows that you would like to hear in the best of, please. And this show, too. Please submit it there. twit.tv/best of. And don't forget the new Twit Army gear. Still in time for Christmas if you order before December 15th. You got four more days at teespring.com/twit. That's teespring.com/twit. All right, enough of that. Let's get to the show. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Audible. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/techguy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk about computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smartwatches, virtual reality, autonomous vehicles. I've added those last two and all that jazz. 8888 Ask Leo. Anything with a chip in it. You know, anything with technology in it. 888-827-5536. That's toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada outside that area. You can still call. Just use Skype or something like that. It'll be a toll free call. 8888 Ask Leo. The website is techguylabs.com. Techguylabs.com. And that's where we put everything I talk about. And it's free. There's no sign up. There's no gatekeeper. It's wide open. But if you hear something on the show and you say, oh, what? I don't remember. What was that? If I still get emails from time to time or tweets or whatever, people saying, what was that thing you meant? It's all there. TechGuyLabs.com. TechGuyLabs.com. We write it all down. James DeRuvo writes it all down. Thank you, James. So you don't have to. Let's see. Here we are. Just a few shopping days until the big gifting day. What is that? 2 weeks from tomorrow is Christmas. And I'm sure people are out there looking at gifts for geeks. It's hard to buy a gift for a geek because, geeks have very strong opinions, don't they? And opinions in weird, unusual ways. They don't... That nothing you would really understand or know, or even really that there's any rationale behind. Oh, you got me the new Nuco Framets instead of the Quilco Framets. I guess that's nice. Thank you. If you'd only known to get the Quilco Framets, you would have been so much happier. But how would you know? You wouldn't. You can break the kind of the rule and ask the geek, what do you want? And he'll say, well, you know, that Quilco Framets is looking pretty good. It's nuanced, Robert Bigelow says in our chat room. Yes, it's new. It's so nuanced. Sometimes even geeks don't know. You know, I mean, there's the obvious. You get somebody, your student a laptop and you get her a Mac and she wanted a PC or vice versa. You know, that's obvious. You get her an Xbox instead of a PS4. Well, you know. So if I can help. In any way, read the tea leaves, figure out what your geek is interested in. I could tell you my nuanced opinions about these things. They're not necessarily going to match. That's the problem, right? Why guy in our chat room says, I have reasons for my feelings on tech. Yes, of course you do. I'm not saying you don't. I'm not saying it's without basis, without reason, without, it might be a very flimsy reason. Well, that's shinier. Oh, that's less shiny. I like it less shiny. I don't want to. You see that with Apple screens. Apple started doing glossy screens. And you'd be surprised at the loud protests from people saying, oh, bring back my matte screen. I hate the glossy screen. And see, you don't want to fall into that trap. Oh, thank you. You gave me a glossy screen, I think. Thank you. Save your receipts, I guess. Save your receipts. But if I can help again, 8888 Ask Leo. It's funny how we've added the, we've taken terms off of the list of stuff I'll talk about. I don't talk about iPods much anymore. Grandma, if you're thinking of getting your grandson an iPod, no. That's not the kid. Now, if you could get some Snap spectacles, oh, man, you'd be the popularest person in the planet. Have you seen those? Those are so hard to get. Snapchat. We don't call it Snapchat anymore. Oh, yeah, you didn't know that, did you? No, it's called Snap now. Just Snap. I guess there's no more chat. I don't know. I don't understand any of this stuff. It's just called Snap Incorporated. And their new spectacles, they call them. They look like kind of cat-eye sunglasses. They're very pronounced, very obvious, you know, very in your face. And they have, and one of the reasons they look that way, the cat eyes, is one. They have two cameras, or maybe it's one camera. I'm not really clear. It looks like two cameras on either, over your eyebrow. And you could take pictures and send it to Snapchat. And all the kids want them. I finally saw my first pair yesterday. A kid had it. Mm-hmm. And Trey Ratcliffe's daughter, Scarlett. Oh, she's adorable. Trey's a very well-known photographer with a huge fan base all around the world. He lives in New Zealand, but fans all over the world. And apparently he just says, if anybody could get some Snapchat spectacles for me, I'd be the happiest of daddies. And so now he has them. That is probably the hot gift if you could get it, but it ain't easy. They do these, what they've been doing, it's brilliant marketing. First of all, unlike every tech company in existence, they don't send them to the tech reviewers. They don't, which is brilliant because now everybody wants them, right? And the reviewers can't even get them. What they do is these pop-up stores. And you don't know where they're going to be. They just appear with balloons attached. Let's see. The current pop-up store, if you go to spectacles.com and look at the map, where is this? I don't even know where this is. I'm going to have to zoom out on the map. It's at the intersection of Highway 41 and 11 in just outside of Milwaukee. What? In Union, yeah. Well, this is brilliant, right? Instead of focusing on the normal, you know, kind of tech headquarters of San Francisco and New York and Austin, L.A., they're not even in Milwaukee. They're outside of Milwaukee. A good ways outside. They put them in Big Sur in California, and you had to hike in to get them. They had a pop-up store in New York, and the wait was 5 hours in line to get them. These are just, there's not anything special about them. They've created a demand just by making them scarce. Well, there is something special. I mean, they're sunglasses, and they're only $129. That's the other thing people say. They're so inexpensive. And that's, I guess, because Google Glass was like $1,500. Oh, they're only $100. $30, they're nothing. wow. I guess there's only one camera. There's what looks like they're symmetric. So there's over your right eye is the camera, over your left eye is the light that flashes when you take a picture. Really amazing. Ah, it's in between Milwaukee and Chicago. Wisconsin guy knows. He says in our chat room, it's a busy area. Okay. And you wear these, and it can shoot video while you're wearing them or take pictures while you're wearing them. And then you can share it. You make little 10-second snaps. Actually, the Snapchat store in New York City is still open. So if you – it's on – of course, it's not in Fifth Avenue where the Apple and Microsoft store. No, it's on 59th Street. Number 5, East 59th Street, and it's open Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. No, they couldn't do it in normal.
during the weekend, 6 a.m. to midnight. But it'll be closed Christmas Eve and Christmas. So, which is funny because I don't think there's people there. It's just a vending machine. And you get in line and you buy the thing. They call it a bot. And now it's in between Chicago and Milwaukee. It's right on the highway 94 there. We're 94 and 41, you know. just outside of Pleasant Prairie. Head on over there. Pick up your Snapchat spectacles. 8888 Ask Leo. That is the hot holiday present, but we can come up with some more, too, and help you do your shopping. Right after this, I'll take calls. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Right just north of Waukegan. Right outside of, you know, right near Kenosha over there. Wow. Wow. I had to zoom out to figure out where it was. I get it. It is. It's kind of on the way from Chicago to Milwaukee. Right outside of Kenosha there. One lens, one LED light array. How do you know, Gary? Do you have one? They're smart. That's how they get us to want them. They don't give the tech press any of them. You just have to know where. Oh, there the machine's landed. That's it. Wow. Man, though, if you wanted to, I mean, if you had a kid between the ages of, say, 14 and 18, and you could get him a pair of those, that'd be one happy kid. Crazy. Crazy. Huh? I think there's, fake boxes. That's an interesting idea. So, specs make memories from your perspective. Press the button to make a 10-second snap. Lights show friends you're snapping. Wirelessly add your snaps to memories on Snapchat. Specs try. See, I would probably do that. They're round on other, when you do it on other media. On Snapchat, they look normal, you know, normal. You're looking through a door. Of course, I, Justine, got some. See, if you're a celeb, if you're a big Snapchatter, I'm sure, you know, the big Snapchatters got them. DJ Khalid got one, I'm sure. Cartman Land style marketing. Oh, $1,100 each. Nice. Cyan, aqua, and black. Wonder if I can go to eBay. But see, I'd be nervous because you would probably get ripped off, wouldn't you? Let's see what the prices on eBay are. Everybody's doing stories on it. I want the actual. Here we go. But how do you know it's real? Oh, see, they're not that expensive. $205. Here's $170 plus shipping. Here's one for $1,000. So these are starting prices for the auctions, right? You can't do a buy it now. Oh, you can't. Oh, $400 now. Starting bid. I get it. I get it. Man, some people are making some money. 400 is not bad. I probably should just because, you know, it's my business. Ooh, buy it now, $300. Hmm. 100% positive feedback. Now you're getting down there. That's only a little more than twice what it would be. Straight from the vending machine. That's the one to get. This is the one to get. $295.99 if you did buy it now. Do you have a teenage offspring relative or friend? He writes, and have no idea what they want for Christmas. Look no further. I have two pairs of Snapchat spectacles purchased at NYC. Getting married, Snapchat that. Making dinner, Snapchat it. Brilliant marketing, right? I did get my Daydream. I was going to get the red ones, or I ordered it, but Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, ask Leo. Oh, I found some Snapchat spectacles on eBay. Just 300 bucks. That's a deal. 8888, ask Leo, the phone number. Hey, I know there's somebody in my life who would be thrilled to have them. Kim Schaffer.
They're pretty funny looking.
Well, you would wear those. I saw for the first time yesterday, I saw actual Snapchat spectacles.
I don't know. I'm not a Snapchatter. I don't like things that go away.
I know. That's what, you know what?
I'm very bothered by the Snapchat because by the time I look at it, it's gone.
Years in broadcasting have taught us that you want, you know, if possible, you're going to spend all the energy to make something. Mm-hmm. That you would want it to last.
Right.
And the thing about Snapchat is 24 hours later, it's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, you could save it.
And people send me cute little pictures, and I'm like, oh, well, unless I take a screenshot, and then you're going to know I've done that.
I would like a Snapchat monocle. How about that?
Oh, how very hipster of you. Steampunk.
I say, I'm Snapchatting you right now. I'm looking at the board, that like you've taken some calls.
A couple people are taking some time out.
Well,
of
I say then, why don't we take some?
Oh, you have a monocle.
I have a monocle. but it's not a snap monocle. Maybe if I could attach a camera to it, then I could snap it. It'll be a snapticle.
Good look.
The only good thing about a monocle is... And you have to practice this. And I learned this from Colonel Klink in Hogan's Heroes. You can use it to express surprise. Hogan? You pop it out when you say something like that.
I once saw a guy on the ferry with one of those, and I had to turn around and laugh because
yeah,
I couldn't believe.
Yeah. What was,
I don't know what kind of statement he was trying to make.
Nice
there.
Of you to turn around before you laughed. Mike B. in the chat room says, I look like Mr. Peanut. Okay, I'm not wearing it anymore then. So...
Anyway,
you got some calls. Who should I go to?
Tony
here?
In Montana wants to go out with the old and in with the new, transfer his VHS tapes to digital.
It's
and
time.
Help. Yeah.
It's time. Thank you, Kim. Hello, Tony. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
Hey. Well, you know, I've got some time this winter. It's Montana and it's winter time. I figured I'd take on a project that I've been meaning to do for a long time. I've been online doing some research. I know there's the 2-in-1 machines with the disk drive and the VHS.
Do they still sell those? You know, it's funny because
yeah,
this
I've
is
seen them.
We used to get this question a lot more a few years ago, and they've started to taper off.
Yeah, well, I think people either gave up on it or just overwhelmed by it. I've got two large boxes, and if it wasn't stuff that I've got 80s and 90s. Baby video.
Yeah, you want to do? I have a box of VHS and camcorder tapes that I really feel like I ought to. They don't last forever. They will start to fall apart.
Yeah, that's kind of what's motivating me to not only that, I'd like to just get rid of. I've been carrying those boxes around for 30
me
years.
Too. Me too. Well, what I plan to do is bring it to my local camera store. Costco, most camera stores will do it. But you have the time. You've got it's snowy weather. You got, nowhere to go.
Right.
So, yeah, that's what you need is you need, and I think the best way to do it would be exactly what you just described. If they still sell them, they made them for a long time. And they were, even a few years ago, what I said is these are transitional items. These are, they're not going to last forever, but these are the VHS players that have a DVD player, a burner in it.
Right.
And let me just see on Amazon if they're still out there. Yeah, they're still selling them. They're still selling them. So that's probably the best. I would say that's the best way to do it.
That's the best way to go.
Yeah.
Now, from what I understand, that's a direct transfer. You can't pause. You're pretty much stuck transferring the whole tape over and then having to edit it post.
I thought you could pause, but I think actually you're right. If you're burning, it's different. If you're doing it to a hard drive, then you can do that. But I think you're right. If you're burning a disc, once they start the disc burning, you probably can't just kind of pause it. So, yeah, I would guess you're right. I haven't played with these, but I would guess you're right. But that's fine. What you're doing really is converting the analog. Really, this is, and you could do this on a computer. You need to convert the analog video signal from a VHS player. If you had a VHS player, you could, you wouldn't need to buy one of these. You're converting that to bits. You're digitizing it and then burning it to a DVD. If you had a computer and a VHS player, you could buy a video capture card that would do the same thing. It would take the analog input from the VHS tape and save it to the hard drive. And you're right. At that point, you probably want to edit it. If it's on a DVD player, you just rip it. It's an MPEG-2 file, and you could then edit it afterwards.
Okay. Would you recommend an easy, user-friendly video editor once I've done that?
Yeah, PC or Mac?
PC.
Yeah. Probably there are a number of them for under $100. I like my favorite. It's a little more expensive than the others. Is Adobe Premiere Elements, because it's a very powerful tool. Adobe sells all of its high-end professional tools as consumer grade under $100. Elements is one of them. Premiere Elements, and they are really invested in this because they make the professional video editors. Premiere Elements is about $80. Now, there are others. There's a Sony Vegas is very good. Microsoft, I think, still offers Windows Movie Maker. That's free, but not particularly good.
Okay.
I'd spend the money on Premiere Elements because it also has the burning built in if you wanted to reburn it.
Okay. Can I ask you one more question unrelated?
Sure.
I have a streaming. Our internet speed is phenomenal. We can stream, you know, Netflix in one room and in another room at the same time. It's not a problem. When I'm on Facebook, and my PC's fairly new, it's less than 2 years old. When I'm on the preview screen or your homepage, and you know how when you go to a video screen, it automatically starts to preview and play.
Yeah, I hate that.
Well, that seems to work fine, but the minute I decide I want to go ahead and watch it and push play. Then it seems to buffer like every 10 seconds, and I don't understand why.
Thank you, Netflix. I think probably the preview, they're loading it ahead of, you know, like background loading it so that when you get there, it plays. It would buffer eventually. Here's what you do. Netflix has this is on Netflix particularly, or is it other places as well?
No, Netflix. Our Netflix and our internet speed's fine. It's just on Facebook. If I want,
oh, it's Facebook. Oh, it's
on
Facebook.
Ah, it starts to buffer, and I don't understand because we can stream two Netflix devices with no.
Yeah, so that's so. Then you know that's Facebook.
So there's something wrong with.
Well,
something going on there.
Yeah, I mean. If you can do Netflix, fine. In fact, Netflix has its own speed tester that goes right to the Netflix server, so you could see what your speed is. It's called fast.com. If you just go to fast.com, you could see what your server speed is.
Yeah, we don't have any problems with our speed. I've done the speed test.
Okay. So it's Netflix. I mean, it's Facebook then. It's Facebook.
Yeah, I think it must be, Leo, because if I click on it and watch it outside of Facebook, like on YouTube, the original source, it plays
yeah.
fine. But if it's in Facebook, then
it's Facebook. All you can do is blame Facebook. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Doug in Santa Barbara. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Doug.
Hey, what's up, Leo?
Not much. What's up with you?
My contract runs out of my phone in 10 days.
Uh-oh.
So, I don't know. Am I excited about getting a new phone? That's what I want to ask you. Should I? You know, my phone's great. You know, I got an S5, and, you know, it's not like my old flip phone. I couldn't wait to get rid of
it. Yeah. Well,
you know, should I get a new one?
A new phone will cost you money or extend your contract or both. The, you know, S5 is two generations old. In fact, it's about to be three generations old. The S8 will come out in March. But I don't know. I'll tell you where the big jump was. I wasn't a big fan of the S5, actually. The big jump in the S5 to S6 and S7 eventually is the cameras are really great in the S6 and S7. So if you take a lot of photos, you might value that. The processors are faster. The S5 was based on a processor that I didn't like very much. In fact, it ended up being a pretty bad processor all around. But we've moved on. The latest, I think the S7 is based on the Snapdragon 820, which is a much better processor. You get more memory in there. But if you like the S5, I don't see any reason to spend more money.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the money. It's just I'm just not, like, excited. You know, when you get rid of your phone, you got
well,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, is the S7 really going to... I mean, the other thing is, are they going to not support this phone? Am I going to be more susceptible to
Yeah, eventually, and I don't know when Samsung is going to end of life the S5. It might already be. I should check. That will be an issue because, you know, that's a combination of the manufacturer and Verizon. So Samsung has to update it, but so does Verizon. In fact, Verizon doesn't always do that. You might remember the news story this week that Samsung was going to brick all the Note 7s that are still out there. Anybody who had a Note 7, they're going to make it so you can't use it unless it's plugged in, hoping that the last remaining dregs of people who haven't turned in their Note 7, there are about 100,000 in the country, will do so because it's dangerous to own a Note 7 because of its tendency to burst into flame. Yeah. And Verizon has said, hey, we're not going to do that. Sorry, Samsung, you can push that on other carriers, but we're not going to do that around the holiday season. People need their phones. So it's up to Verizon and Samsung. So what you have to do is the end of life from Samsung or the end of life from Verizon. Both companies would love you to buy a new phone every 2 years.
Yeah.
They're looking at you and saying, oh, yeah, what's wrong with that guy? Yeah, Doug hasn't bought a new phone in 2.5 years.
Yeah, they send me emails every day.
But that's a consumerist kind of thing, right? I hate to – these things don't wear out. I mean, phones take a beating if you drop them and stuff, but if you've been gentle with it, it doesn't wear out.
Well, you know, I try to get a new PC every, you know, so many years because they change the operating system. And you get behind on the operating. But now, I get really going to keep Windows 10.
Well, do you know if you've gotten a system update lately?
Yeah, they did update the phone a while ago. Yeah, yeah. Like within this month, I think. So, yeah.
I kind of understand your feeling, it's a bad occupational hazard for people in my business that, and I think other people have the same thing. Like, life will be better if we just get the new thing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, if I just had a new phone, then I'd be happy. And that's a terrible consumerist kind of point of view. If you're content with your phone, I wouldn't feel. I know they're pressuring you. I wouldn't feel pressured to. Here's one way you can appease your monkey mind that wants the new phone. Well, let's wait and see what the S8 brings to bear, because that's going to come out this spring at Mobile World Congress. That should be an improvement over the already very nice S7. Maybe it's worth waiting for.
Yeah, do they get better? Like, is the S6 better than the S5 and the S7 better than the S6?
Yeah, they get better. Mostly they get better by putting more hardware in there. So the cameras are much better in the newer phones than yours. There's more RAM. Your phone had, I think, 2 gigs of RAM. They're now up to 3 and 4 gigs. That does make a difference in speed. They also have much faster processors. You have an 801. They're up to the 820. Yeah. Now, this is what geeks say.
Well, you know, you still got that 801. You really ought to have an 820.
That's really... I'm feeling kind of bad. I don't want to push you into consumerism for just consumerism's sake. So would you notice a difference? It really depends on how you use it. Do you feel like your phone's slow?
No, that's the thing. I mean, I send texts. I get on Facebook, you know.
It's fine for you. So you're absolutely right. The only thing to worry about is updates. Because with Android in particular, but it's true also of iOS, of iPhone, you want to make sure that you're getting the security fixes. That's the big one.
Yeah.
And what version, do you know what version of Android is on that thing? Is it Marshmallow on there?
No, I don't know. And I think they updated it like within the month.
Okay, good. You know, how you tell is you go in the phone, you go to the settings, and then you go into about this phone and you look, and what you want to make sure, they'll have a section where it shows you which security update they have. The most important updates, Google has now started putting out monthly security updates. And you want to see what your Android security patch level is. Now I'm looking at a Google made phone, and it's November 5th, 2016. That's the latest possible. Yours probably will be more like September or October. Yeah. But if it's September 2016 or October 2016, that's good news. It means you're still getting security patches. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, because I heard you once. It was probably like this summer. You were talking about some things on the S5 they weren't going to keep patching. And
eventually, they'll stop. Dr. Mom in our chat room is saying her Note 4 is still getting the latest security updates and is on Marshmallow, but she's on AT&T. So the question is, you know, which version of Android are you on? You'd like to be on Android M, which is Android 6 point something. So you'd like to be on Android 6, and you'd like to have a relatively recent, within the last couple of months, security update. If you do, then I'd say as long as that phone is serving your purposes, you're good.
Yeah. And then you can wait for the S8, because then I always get the phone the next one comes out.
See, that'll make you feel better, right? Okay, I'm waiting to the S8, and then don't jump necessarily.
Yeah.
Because it may not, you know, you're happy.
Yeah.
Wait till the prudent thing would, you know, look, the financial experts say never buy a new car. Always buy a slightly used car. I always buy new cars. The financial experts are right. It doesn't mean it's, you know, emotionally satisfying. So it depends how much money you're willing to spend to be emotionally satisfied.
Yeah.
Be a good consumer. Yeah. Keep the wheels of commerce turning. Buy a new phone every 2 years. I don't think that's necessarily the right thing to do. So here's what I'm going to say. Let's appease your mind. Wait to see what the S8 offers. Your phone's working great now. The only thing I would suggest you do is check the set about this phone and make sure that you're on the latest security patch, or at least in the last couple of months security patch. If you're not, and Verizon doesn't push those out, or Samsung doesn't push those out, then it is time to get a new phone.
Yeah, well, it's tough not getting a new phone. You know that. Yeah.
I know. It's a terrible thing, you know. You know, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about something called dark patterns. The industry has figured out how to trick us into wanting the newest thing. Remember, in the 50s, there really was no reason to buy a new car, except then they put fins on them. And the fins, it looks like that car's going faster. I want one with fins. Car industry's had to deal with this for years. There's really, you know, not much of a difference nowadays between last year's model and this year's model. They got to get us to want it somehow. And they've gotten very good at it, I'm sad to say. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. You definitely want to make sure that you are up to, I would say now you need to be marshmallow. Because there are some severe issues. Like Gooligan is the latest. Gooligan affects phones up to Lollipop. But it's been fixed in Marshmallow and Nougat, Android 6 and 7. So there's things that you do want to do for security. But it's kind of sad that we have this, got to have the latest, you know, consumer, I think it's consumerist nonsense. Chibert sent me something. But I have it worse than anybody, right? I always have. In fact, I kind of took this job so I could get the latest stuff always. You know, I have an excuse to satisfy the magpie in me. Yeah, battery. That's one thing. You're right, battery. So that's the new thing. So they're getting very good. And, you know, their interest is not in doing the right thing for you. Sad to say, most companies nowadays don't really consider their customers. They're considering their bottom line. Oh, Chibert, you rock. Chibert, you rock. Some luscious Kona beans. He's a sweetheart. Oh, Lisa, we got some Chibert stuff. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, jump jiving and wailing. The industry has figured out through the help of psychologists, and it's actually been a process that's been going on for a long time, how to trick us. And I've talked about this on some of our podcasts before, and somebody sent me a... an email saying, you know, this is nothing new. These days we call it dark patterns. These are psychological patterns used to manipulate us into buying more stuff. She said, we used to get our bills in the mail. Imagine that, paper bills. And on the back of the envelope, I think it was from her bank, or her statement or something, maybe her mortgage payment, on the back of the envelope that you put the check in. And remember, so in the old days, kids, companies would send you a bill every month, and the mail carrier would put that in. They didn't just deliver junk mail. They would also give you bills, and you'd open it up, and it would say, send us $100. And so, because in those days, houses were cheap, and you'd write a check. So that's your bank would give you this book of paper thing. They call them checks, and you'd write the amount on it, and you'd sign your name, and the bank would then pay them. So you'd write $100 and you sign your name. You put the envelope with the bill. On the back of the envelope, it said, "We would love to send you your yearly day planner, leather bound, pseudo simulated leather bound day planner for a low $19.95. Check here if you don't want it." And she said, "For years we kept getting these day planners from our bank." Because we never noticed this check here if you don't want it, right? Well, that was the old days. Nowadays, of course, we've perfected this to a fine art. And many websites, you download shareware from the website, and as you install it, it you know quickly flashes up, check here if you don't, or uncheck this box if you don't want the Aloha toolbar added. Uncheck this box if you don't want the Ask toolbar added. Uncheck the... And you just go, okay, 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 and suddenly you've got 15 kind of junky adware programs installed in your computer. We can't call them viruses because you said okay, right? You gave them permission. I did, yes. You didn't uncheck the box. Well, this is kind of the most basic form of dark patterns. You want to see some really elaborate ones, go to a website. Love this website created by web designers who I think feel guilty, frankly, for what they've done, called darkpatterns.org, Fighting User Deception Worldwide. And they have a library of bait and switch, Microsoft Windows 10 update, for instance, disguised ads, faraway bill. These are all the names they've given to these dark patterns. Forced continuity, forced disclosure, friend spam, hidden costs, misdirection. These are all psychological techniques companies now use to get you to choose a more expensive option, for instance, or to hide hidden costs, or to, you know, AT&T just got dinged for something called cramming. They have to pay $88 million, I think, to consumers because this was FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, brought a suit against them for unauthorized charges. It was very easy to fall into this. Maybe you did. This is for your mobile phone, tacking unnecessary third-party fees onto your bill without your consent, or with your consent, but kind of tricking you into it. Did you ever get horoscopes, ringtones, love tips, or other fun facts from third-party companies? What you might not have noticed when you accepted those is that it was $10 a month, and the AT&T folks kept 35%. So AT&T made it hard to cancel. I don't know why I'm getting these love tips, and I definitely don't want to pay $10 a month for these. Can you cancel that?
We don't know what you're talking about.
So the FTC went after him and has got a settlement for $88 million. It's the largest settlement ever, the most money ever returned to consumers in a mobile cramming case. That's called cramming. But they do it all the time. And why do you think the iPhone keeps having, every year has a new color? Because there are some people, maybe me, who have to have the new color. Rose gold. The phone isn't particularly different. It's you want everybody to know you have the latest, right? So you got to get the rose gold. Or this year it's the jet black, which is the shiny black. Now, you'll know you're one of these people is if you always have a rose gold iPhone or a jet black iPhone, you see. It's not that the new iPhone is that much better. In fact, in many regards, it's worse. It doesn't have a headphone jack, for instance. Even that might be a sign of, oh, this is the hot newness. You don't need headphone jacks anymore, so we're going to take them out.
Oh, I got to have that. That must be good.
So I guess my job, I think, going forward, I feel very guilty because for years, you know, I've played along with this. Yeah, gotta get the new thing. You gotta get the new thing. People call in. You gotta get the new thing. No, you don't have to get the new thing. You can stick with the old thing. If it's working fine for you, stick with the old thing. Jet black isn't particularly better than titanium or rose gold or regular gold. Darkpatterns.org is a really interesting site if you want your eyes opened to what they're doing to try to kind of trick you into spending more. The roadblock, the sneak into basket. You ever see that one? That's the one I was kind of talking about where unwanted software snuck into your system by hidden or obscure check marks that you're supposed to notice and uncheck. There's a lot of that. Recurring premium subscriptions. And good luck trying to cancel these things. Live Nation, you go to buy tickets at Live Nation, and there's a checkbox that you have to uncheck. Otherwise, you're going to get a paid subscription to Rolling Stone with your purchase, right? You've seen that? And oh, by the way, they hide that in the privacy information section, which, of course, you don't read. And if you want to cancel the subscription, you can't do it online. You have to mail them. Mail them. So the box, go to darkpatterns and read the box that's checked or not checked, the box in the down there in the privacy information, you have to check the box that says, I decline the bonus subscription to Rolling Stone. If you don't check that, sorry. They're doing it all the time. Why? Can we not do that? I would take a break for the news at the top of the hour. If you don't uncheck the box, you will have to stick around till next hour, okay? Do not check that box. More to come on the Tech Guy Show. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Our show today brought to you by Audible. Let's see what's up on Audible these days. I'm going to get you a free book, by the way. If you go to audible.com/techguy, I am sure by now you've heard me talk ad infinitum about Audible, ad nauseum about Audible. I love Audible. Audible is the audiobook store I use to buy all of my audiobooks. And nowadays, that's all I listen to is audiobooks on Audible. I don't read. I listen. And it's a great way to go because there's plenty of time in your life where you can't read, but that you can listen. You can listen, as they say on the front page, listening is the new reading. And so many great books on Audible. All the bestsellers now come out on Audible. The John Grishams, the Pattersons, the Margaret Atwoods, what is my wife? She loves Nora Roberts. Any bestseller is going to come up in Audible. Sometimes there's a delay. I noticed that Bruce Springsteen's audiobook of his biography, Born to Run, just came out on Audible. And then I realized, oh, because Bruce recorded it. So I bet you he was kind of busy, you know, winning the Congressional Medal of Honor or whatever. And what did he get? He got the highest civilian honor. I can't remember what it is. But anyway, he's busy. So it took him a little extra time to record. But it is now out on Audible. You bet I bought it. And you could get it for free right now if you go to audible.com/techguy. I have to admit, I listen to a lot of rock star bios on Audible. That's a lot of fun. But I also listen to a lot of science fiction. If you're into a science fiction, Peter F. Hamilton's best start, you know, this is one of our favorite science fiction guys. Steve Gibson and I are always talking about Peter F. Hamilton. And one of his most accessible, best books to get started with is finally out on audio. It's called Fallen Dragon. So if you've been thinking, I really, you know, Steve and Leo are always talking about Peter F. Hamilton. But, you know, most of his books are trilogies. There's a lot. But Fallen Dragon is out now on Audible. Took a while. Just came out last month. Highly recommended. Look, this is the point. You can get a free book right now when you go to audible.com/techguy. You'll be signing up for the gold account. That's a book a month. Subscription is the most economical way to be an Audible user. Bob, you're talking about Nobel Prize winner Bob Dylan? His book is great. I listen to that. Chronicles. And he reads, actually Sean Penn reads that, but he sounds just like Bob Dylan. Loved Chronicles. It was great. And I just got Robbie Robertson's new book. He's of the band. Testimony just came out. I'm sorry. I got distracted. Go to audible.com/techguy. Sign up for the gold account. You'll get a book a month and the Daily Digest of the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times. You can listen to in the car, in the gym, walking the dog, doing the dishes all the time. I have my Amazon Echo. Every time I'm, you know, got a moment, I will ask the Echo to read to me. It'll read me my latest audiobook, picking up right where I left off. It's awesome. If you decide it's not for you, you know, maybe it's not for you. I don't know. That's why you should try it. You cancel any time in that first 30 days. You'll pay nothing. The book is yours to keep forever. But I don't think you're going to cancel because it's the best Audible. Go to audible.com/techguy. Get your first book free. We thank Audible for their support. Mike Massimino. Who's that? Is that a good book? Mike Massimino. Somebody in the chat room saying, he's the astronaut, an astronaut spaceman, and he narrates. Oh, I have to listen to this. An astronaut's unlikely journey to unlock the secrets of the universe. Neat. John in Los Angeles, you're next. Thanks for hanging on. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, John.
Hey, Leo. Thanks for taking my call. I got my wife, my kid, and myself all on Google Fi, and we're all taking a bunch of pictures all the time.
Nice.
So, well, my wife always wants me to text me the picture that I have, not the one that she has, so she can post it and so forth. So what I did is I created a fourth email account, and I point all three phones to Google Photos. Whenever we take a picture,
now,
it's uploaded.
You're not going to be thrilled, but I'm going to mention that they now have a very nice album sharing capability where you can take an album on your account, share it with somebody else, and they can add photos to it. You can add photos to it, or you can make it that they can't write to it. That way, you know, you could say, okay, I'm going to take all the pictures of our kids and put them in this shared album. But you've got it set up this way, so.
Well, that's where I am right now. But my question for you is how do I back up Google Photos to my desktop computer? Is there a program or a way to download what I have already stored up in the cloud to keep everything synced?
So what you can – it's kind of complicated, but Google Drive – will allow you to back up your photos to Google Drive automatically. And then there's a Google Drive program. I don't know what to call it, but there's a little Google Drive doohickey for your computer that will automatically sync your Google Drive to your computer.
Okay.
So, I use that. That way everything... Sorry?
Will that work on Linux or is that a Windows application?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
I run Linux at the house.
It's Windows or Mac. Let me see if you can do... I'm sure there's a Linux Google Drive. You know, Google's very good about all of this stuff. Let's see. Google Drive. Running Linux, they say. And then what? What do I do if I'm running Linux? It's not ready yet. Well, at least they say it, you know. Install Drive on your smartphone, tablet, and computer so you can keep your files safe and easy to reach from anywhere. And then in the fine print, running Linux, stay tuned. Drive for Linux isn't ready just yet, but that implies they're working on it.
So I just have to wait.
That's
fair enough. All right, well, cool. Thank you for your help. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, if you search around, which distro do you use?
Ubuntu.
If you search around, I bet you somebody's written a Ubuntu program that will grab your Google Drive stuff. I would bet. That's one of the neat things about Linux. Not neat about Google. Like any commercial enterprise, Google kind of wants to lock you in. But Linux users have had for years to kind of go their own way. And so there are many ways to do this kind of thing. Now, Google may not give you an easy API, so that may be... you know, that may be part of the problems. Let's see. Their chat room is now starting to warm up with a bunch of choices. Here you go. Yep. This is a Linux program called InSync HQ at InSyncHQ.com. Extends Google Drive's web functionality to your desktop by integrating tightly with Windows, Mac, and Linux. So you can do this, and it'll work with Ubuntu. And, wow, looks like it does a whole bunch of additional stuff. Very nice. So, yeah, there are third-party programs that'll let you do this. Thank you, Archandra, in the chat room, for coming up with that answer. And in Los Angeles, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Ann. Ann, come on down. Hey, Ann.
Oh, you caught me.
I know. It's okay. It's okay. I put you on hold for an hour, and then I go, hey, you're on. It's mean. Okay. That's mean.
All right. So this is really basic. I'm looking for, you know, a sports tracker watch.
Oh, yeah. There are quite a few of those.
Well, I kind of narrowed it down. I was researching, and are you familiar with a Polar M400?
Yeah. So everybody who runs knows about Polar. Polar makes heart rate monitors and runners' watches, and their stuff is you know, serious stuff. Like the Garmin, like there are serious runners. Are you a runner? What is it you want to keep track of?
Well, I want to have a GPS and a heart monitor. Those two are in it, but I also was attracted to it because I use Runkeeper, and I guess it syncs with it.
That's right.
What does it mean when it says it has voice recognition? Because I only use my phone now, and it's so big. I used to hike a lot, but now I'm running, and it's kind of big. But I like the phone because it announces.
Right.
Without me looking,
I don't know of any watch that will talk to you like that. I know, isn't that a nice thing? You've gone 1 mile, and you've 8,300 steps, and yeah, I love that. Everybody will sync with Runkeeper because that's the standard. Strava, Runkeeper, MyFitnessPal, all of these programs will work with almost any fitness band. But so really, your feature set that you want, heart rate, of course, everybody does. Some do better than others. The best heart rate monitor is an Apple Watch. The next best heart rate monitor, in my experience, is the Fitbit. But I would expect Polar to be very good because they make heart rate monitors. That was their primary business until this new category, this fitness tracker came along. So everybody will do steps. Everybody will do heart rate. Everybody will work with Runkeeper. It's the GPS that's a little tricky because most of these will tie to a phone and let the phone do the GPS. Because if you add a GPS, yeah,
do I have to have the phone with me? That's why I'm getting rid of it.
You don't. If you get so many of these, don't require a phone. Not many. Some. The problem with putting a GPS in a watch is it takes up battery life, right? And it makes the watch a little bit bigger. But some watches now do have GPS. Apple has started putting GPS into their Series 2 Apple Watches. I'm not going to recommend an Apple Watch because you have to have an iPhone.
I was going to say, I knew you were going to say Apple Watch.
Well, it does all of that. It doesn't talk to you. Some of the Samsung Gear watches will do that as well. But I think you're actually on the right track with this Polar one. Which Polar are you interested in, the 360?
It's the M400. It's not pretty like they say, but I think it has everything that I want.
Then go for it. Yeah, the M400 GPS running watch. I mean, this looks pretty nice, except for the talking to you
and
part.
And it's not very expensive.
No, it's under $200. That's good. It has built-in GPS, so it doesn't require a phone. Polar does, you know, Polar's the king of heart rate monitors, so I would bet their watches do a very good job. Oh, look, it looks like you... you can get notifications and stuff like that on it, too. Yeah, this looks great.
Okay, great. I wanted to get your opinion. Yeah. I appreciate it.
They're a great company.
Thank you.
All right. Oh. And Garmin also does this. There are a number of runner's watches that are a little more hardcore. They're also a little bigger. This one doesn't look too bad in size-wise. But, you know, the more features you put into it, the bigger you... The real question is this a category that's going to survive? And the general consensus among the tech community is smartwatches, maybe not. Fitness trackers, perhaps. Fitbit's the king of this. I have a Fitbit Blaze. I have several of the Fitbits. They've been very good. I like them. But if you want the built-in GPS, I think you're smart to go with a serious runner's watch, and Polar's one of them. So good choice. 8888 Ask Leo. Actually, I think we have another question about smartwatches. We're going to talk to another question in just a minute about smartwatches. Coming up more, I think. Yes. I had to check. Website, by the way, is where we put all this stuff. TechGuyLabs.com. So you don't have to write it down. TechGuyLabs.com. Twisted Mister says that he doesn't need a smartwatch because he's noticed that donut shops are exactly 0.7 miles apart in his area. So he just runs 0.7 miles, goes to a donut shop, another 0.7 miles to the next donut shop. Curtis, Michigan. Hi, Curtis. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. How's it going today?
It's well. How are you?
Not bad. Just a longtime listener since the 98 Tech TV days. And
wow.
Have definitely learned by a lot of your phone buying habits. Like you said, sometimes it's better to sit out and watch the market before jumping in.
I think you almost always do better doing that. You know, I don't have the luxury of doing that because people want to, you know, hear my reviews. I realized that one day I was thinking, oh, I'm going to wait to buy this new phone until I hear the reviews. And I realized, oh, wait a minute, that's my job. I buy them so you can wait and listen, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, I don't mind you having that job. It's taught me a lot. I've learned a lot. I've done some building of my own computer since. Good.
That's why I got into this, right? I wanted to have an excuse to have the latest, greatest.
Well, I did get the opportunity to meet Bob Heil down in Illinois, and man, that guy is a phenomenal person. I can't say enough about his help to the knowledge in the ham radio community.
Bob is a wonderful guy. Of course, the host of our ham radio show, Ham Nation, but he's a legend in the rock and roll sound business. And I use exclusively Bob Heil's microphones. I'm using one right now. I'm a big fan. He's a great guy.
Well, I'm talking to you through Google Hangouts, and I actually
Sounds
have
good.
A PR40 that I'm going to set up for a podcasting
good for you.
Situation voice communication system.
Nice. Are you going to do a ham podcast? What are you going to do?
I don't know. I'm still trying to learn, see actually what I want to talk about, maybe a general variety type thing.
Nice.
You know?
I think so. Podcasting's so much fun. It's more fun if you don't try to make a living doing it. Do it for fun.
Yeah. it's definitely be
fun. Good. Then you'll have more fun. It's a lot harder to do it trying to make a living.
So, but on to my question. Yes. I wanted to find out what you thought of the Amazon Echo Tap. Because I hear you talk about the Dot.
I have a Dot and the old tube, but I have never purchased the Tap. As far as I know, the only difference in the Tap and the Dot is the battery.
Well, I do have it, and I can give you a little quick review of what
I'd love to. Yeah, so all three of these use the same technology that lets you talk to it, and it will respond back to you. The difference on the Tap is it's portable, has a battery, and it doesn't listen all the time. It only responds when you press the button, right?
Correct. And it also has it has Bluetooth in it, so like I connect my iPod at work to it. So if I don't have internet access, it also is a standalone speaker.
Smart.
So you're getting really two products in one. One being the internet connectivity if you're at home or if you have a hotspot service to connect to it, or two, you can use it as a standalone speaker. And I've found it to be very, you know, a very good sounding speaker. I work in a manufacturing environment where it's fairly loud noise wise, and it does hold up, you know, to some of the noise and is a good speaker for that. And durability wise, I bought a little Amazon case that has a lasso on it type hook, and it's phenomenal because I can hang it by where I'm working and you know, have loud enough for me to hear it, but not loud enough for everybody else to hear it.
I think a lot of people, this is probably going to be a Bluetooth Christmas. I know I already got one for my kids. So if you're thinking about a Bluetooth speaker, the Tap, you're right, is an interesting choice because it adds that echo capability to essentially a Bluetooth speaker. It's around $90. How's the speaker sound, though?
I think the quality of it sounds pretty good. I actually was, you know, pretty impressed with the quality of the speaker itself and how loud it can get, as well as how clear it is. You know, it doesn't sound over-modulated when you crank it up. And the battery life on it is really good, too. The thing I like about it also is you can say, you know the magic word.
Yeah, let's not say it on the air. We don't want to. Number of people listen to this show, as I've heard from, on their Echoes, and when we start saying commands with using her name, they get very upset. So we just call it an Echo. You say Echo, because, you know, that's what I've set up. Unfortunately, the one in the studio responds to Echo. So every time I say Echo, she wakes up and says, "What? What? What do you want? What? I'm sleeping. What do you want?"
But you can ask it its battery level. Because the app actually doesn't show the battery level of the device. So I'm able to keep track of that.
Nice.
By asking what its battery level is where the app could have the battery level, but it doesn't.
Well, there you go. So $90. I don't know if it's in stock. I think they're running out. Do you have to be? I think you have to be a Prime member to buy an Echo, I believe, of any kind.
I'm not honestly sure on that. I am a Prime member and don't use it nearly as much as I should. So I'm trying to increase my investment by using more and more.
Get all your ham gear from Amazon. You'll be using it more and more.
I don't know. I can get 10% off from Heil Sound for my
there you go.
My microphone arm I'm going to get for Christmas.
There you go. Yeah, I'm using one right now from Heil. Bob is the supplier to the Tech Guy Show. Official supplier to the Tech Guy Show. I take it you're an amateur radio enthusiast, Curtis.
No, I've been into shortwave radio and like listening to, I'm into CBs and was and need to eventually get a ham radio permit because it's definitely the way to go if you want to learn
Daddy,
about things.
Here comes your boy. Does he respond to Echo as well?
Yeah, he actually took it from me the first day I had it, and I had a hard time getting it to be able to bring it to work.
How old is he?
He's 3.
Just think what the world's going to be like when he's our age.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. I mean, you know, he picked that thing up and started talking to it.
Sure.
He was able to get it to do stuff.
Yep. He gets it. He understands it. And you start to see these technologies. And even a three-year-old, this is just his environment. This is his life. And he's going to be talking to his car, to his house, to his... We all talk to our TVs, but that doesn't respond. But by the time he's 20, it will. They'll all be talking back. Hey, it's nice to talk to you, Curtis. 73. I'll give you a 73 if you're not a ham yet. It sounds like you're well on your way. Speaking of on his way, Chris Marquardt, the photo guy, is here. I see his picture in my window of upcoming things. Hi, Chris. We'll be talking to him in just a little bit and be taking more of your calls, too. Our phone number is 8888. Ask you. I'm thinking I want to bring my mom an Echo. But she's not a Prime member, so I'm thinking I put it on my account. And then, because I don't, can you do that? I'm sure Amazon wouldn't be thrilled. They might notice that she's in Providence, Rhode Island, and I'm in California. Would they turn it off? She would really love that Echo, I think. Chris Marquardt, photo guy, coming up in just a little bit. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Chris Marquardt, our photo guy, is here. Hello, Chris.
Hi there. How are you?
I am great. Did not take any square pictures. I'm a bad man, but it's time. Doesn't matter. Time is up.
And it's a lot of people have taken part in this. So
time to review.
You're excused.
Oh, man, I'm a bad, bad person. But a lot of people did take pictures and uploaded them, as we asked, to the Tech Guy group on Flickr. And you've picked 3 of the ones you like the best.
Right. And we received submissions for like all the different ways you can see the word square. There's some have interpreted it, of course, as the shape square, then some as a place where people gather. Or I think one even did the boring person kind of thing. There was one about square dance and a lot of pictures that were in the square aspect ratio. So square shaped
nice
pictures. And I've picked three. And the first one is by Archimedes Photo Lab, and
it's square, tiles. All right.
Of course, I mean that's kind of the first thing that comes to mind,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Tiles. The title is "Restroom Reflections." A bit TMI here, but it's interesting looking because it's not just the regular square tiles; they're all different sizes and they fit nicely into each other. There's a mosaic of tiles. The one thing that kind of irks me slightly is that it's not exactly 100% straight on. If you see the vertical lines at the bottom, they converge. So it's just a matter, but that is really difficult to get that really good in camera. When I take these kind of photos, you know what I usually do? I try to get it as good as I can shot handheld, and then I kind of sometimes I have to correct it in Lightroom just a bit.
Yeah, there's one other thing that bugs me, and no disrespect to Archimedes. By the way, he took this in a restroom, so he probably didn't control the light. But it's a little glary.
It's fully on flash straight from the camera. You can see this in the reflection. What it does, though, it brings out these interesting round-shaped, brush marks.
Yeah, I like
on
that.
Some of these tiles.
I do like that.
Yeah, okay, but it's a good thing to kind of experiment with these kind of things because that's the kind of picture I want straight on, and that
it does
that
converge
works
a
really
little
well.
Tiny bit. Nice though, and very square.
Very square. The second one has a lot of little squares in it. Probably brownies or something.
Codfish cakes. They're codfish cakes.
Oh, codfish cakes. Okay. Oh, yeah, you're right. There it says it.
It even says it in the picture.
It's hard to tell for me because we don't have those here, and it's a black and white shot, so I couldn't tell from the color.
No, you're right. It could be baked goods, but I think it's not. Yeah.
And it's a picture that jumps out at me because I shoot film. This is shot on film.
Oh,
it's actually in the description. Brendan, who shot it, says it's a shot on Kodak Tri-X.
I was going to say Tri-X. I see that beautiful Tri-X grain.
The grain, and what Brendan did is he did what's called a push. He pushed it to 1600. Mm. So that's how you kind of raise the sensitivity a bit. And that brings out the grain even more. So you have this very typical grain in it. And that's then the other kind of thing that gives it away as a film photo is that you can see these white spots all over the picture.
Yeah.
That's dust that kind of got caught in the film during development. And now when you scan that, you invert the black dust specks and they become white.
Oh.
So you have little white dots. And in the old days, photographers had to use very fine haired brushes, and then they had used a special paint to really sometimes brushes with one single hair, and then on the negative they would paint with egg based gray colors to kind of even those spots
but
out.
I like it because what it makes it look is a little vintage.
It is, yeah, absolutely, because it's a vintage kind of thing, and the camera from the judging from the sharpness, I would say the camera is probably also not a very new one. So it kind of all works
it's vintage.
Together, goes hand in hand.
That's
yes,
what the
is.
Pictures looked like back in my day. They all looked
and
like
the
that.
And the third picture that I chose
I like this one
is,
too.
Well, initially Mike Althaus shot this called Square Glass Refraction. So it's a square-shaped glass, and it's also black and white. On that picture, what caught my attention was not the square glass. It was the refraction. It was what the light does in the photo. If you look at the light coming through the glass and then making these kind of organic shapes in the front, that's just beautiful. And light sometimes does that when it reflects off of things or when it refracts through things like liquids, like glasses and so on. And that's just I like this.
Boy, I do love black and
jumped
white.
At me.
I more and more take my pictures and just take all the color out. I just love black and white.
It simplifies photos, doesn't it?
Yeah, not, and you know, sometimes you'll take a photo. If you're taking a photo of Mardi Gras parade, you'd probably want color because color is a big part of it. But if it's people, a lot of times the focus is on the person as opposed to the colors around them.
Right.
Once you start shooting a lot of black and white, everything else seems kind of gaudy. And this is a good example because geometrically it's very interesting. So you can focus on the shapes.
It's a very graphic kind of shot. Very, very graphical in nature in terms of the lines and how things converge. So pretty cool.
Love it.
So
love it. Very nice.
Thanks, everyone who participated. I have a few assignments lined up with other words that have a lot of different meanings. But I thought we'd do a very different one in between. Have you ever heard of the term pareidolia?
No. What's pareidolia?
And we're not going to make this the name of the assignment because no one will be able to spell it. But it is when you see, for example, when you look at the bark of a tree and you see a face in there or in the clouds.
Oh, I love that.
So I want, and everyone, this is fun to look around the place you live and find faces in things. And that's the name of the assignment, Faces in Things. So we'll let this run until sometime in January, and let's all find faces in things. If you need some inspiration, just Google faces in things. Look at the pictures that get returned. Look at the image search, and you'll be blown away by how creative people are finding these faces.
I love that. The mind, the human mind.
Oh, perception
is built around face recognition.
Yes.
That it was, you know, recognizing who your mom is a vital survival instinct.
Well, being able to tell apart that saber-toothed tiger from your friends, you know.
So we have this highly refined ability. So we see faces in all sorts of weird places because we're looking for faces. Our brains are looking for faces. What, spell it, the word para?
Pareidolia, P-A-R-E-I-D-O-L-I-A. That's what the psychologists call it.
Pareidolia.
I'm not sure if that's how it's pronounced, but pareidolia.
I like it. Okay.
But the tag.
So what's the tag going to be?
Faces in things.
Faces in things. All right.
Yeah.
So the way this works is you should take pictures. That's the main point of the whole thing. There's no prize. Maybe at the end, Chris will pick you out of the crowd and point to your picture, but really it's about taking the pictures, and it doesn't have to be with a fancy camera by any means. Camera phones are fine. So look for faces and things. Once you get some pictures, put the tag faces and things in the photo and upload it to Flickr, flickr.com. And we have a tech guy group there. You should join the group anyway and submit it. You can submit up to one a week. Our moderator, Renee Silverman, will welcome you to the group and thank you for the picture. That way you'll know it's received. And in about a month, Chris will go back and we'll look at some faces and things. Oh, I'm going to definitely do this one. I say that every time.
Look just behind you. Look just behind you on the set.
There's a face
so much stuff
right there.
Oh, yeah.
Chris is at discoverthetopfloor.com. Thank you, Chris Marquardt.
Thank you.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Faces in Things is brilliant. Brilliant. Pareidolia.
Google that. Google that and look at the image search.
I love it.
Very
love
funny.
It.
So we very
had,
funny.
We had Trey Ratcliffe on the screensavers yesterday, and he's ordered the Hasselblad X1D.
Of course he has.
He's going to move. I don't know if he's going to move to it, but he's going to do the X1D. And, man, I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
And I said, which lens did you choose? He said all of them. There's only three. So I guess, you know, that's his next thing. That's medium format, right?
That is medium. But it's digital medium. It's not exactly the same size as film medium format. We're talking film medium format is around 6x6 centimeters. Or 6x7, or 6x9, or 6x12, like in panorama, and the digital medium format, depending on the sensor, is more like a 3x4 centimeters. Some are go towards the 4x5 centimeters, but none of them go. Or I think I wouldn't be aware of any medium format camera that really touches on the size of the film.
It's 50 megapixels. He says, but you really can see the difference. Yeah, you can really see the difference.
Of course you can.
But is that going to be like exactly like the problem that you mentioned with the Canon, the DS, where you have to be perfect?
Well, yes,
technically
and,
perfect.
You have to be really good technically. You have to shoot shorter shutter speeds just to kind of even that out.
Yeah.
And it's some of these don't go as high in the ISO as the smaller sensors do.
Right.
Just because there hasn't been as much research into those because of the
my Rolleiflex. I could shoot medium. That's medium format, or is it?
That is 6x6 centimeters. 6x6, that's true.
I should do more with that. I love that camera. I should do more with that. Maybe I'll take some more. I've got that Portra, the medium format Portra.
You know, next time I'm in San Francisco, I'll bring a bunch of film cameras and then we'll geek out about
That'd be fun.
Photography.
Yeah, we could do a film camera segment.
I would do that.
The Rolle lenses aren't that great. So, I mean, it doesn't...
The ones in the Rolleiflex, which one do you have? Do you have the 3.5, f3.5, or the f2.8?
I can't remember. I think a 3.5.
Those are kind of run-of-the-mill lenses, but they're okay. I mean, if you look at Vivian Myers' photos...
she shot those with a Rolle, right?
She shot those with exactly that camera, so there's nothing wrong with them.
No, I got a 2.8F. I got a 2.8F.
Oh, then you've got the better lens.
Is that a good lens?
Absolutely, but you can't change it. You know, that's the thing in the twin lens camera that you have.
Yeah.
It's built in. The only thing you can do is you can add an additional lens on the front. You can put a wide angle adapter or a telephoto adapter or a close up lens on the front. By the way, then you'll have to have two of those lenses if you do a close up one, because you have the one that you shoot through and the one that you look through. And
right,
those are two different lenses.
And it's weird. And then they also don't correct for so when you turn the camera left, the picture goes right. It's very confusing.
It is. It takes training, like everything. It does take a bit of
practice. And I do have the pistol grip. I have the grip. I have the whole set. I should really take some.
I didn't even know they have a pistol grip.
Yeah, it's nice because it helps you hold the dang thing.
You have everything.
I got it from Leica Shop. Those guys are great.
Yep, they are.
All right, well, Vienna. Maybe I'll take some pictures with that. I took one roll last Christmas.
You know what? When I'm in San Francisco, I'll bring a development tank. We'll develop film on the show.
No. All right, Chris, thank you.
All right.
See you later. You. Take care.
Take care.
Should have taken that square. Could have taken some square pictures of that. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888. Ask Leo the phone number if you've got a question, a comment, suggestion. If you want to talk high tech like Clay in Missouri. Hi, Clay.
Hey, Leo.
Welcome.
Hey, thanks for letting me on.
Sure.
Long time listener. I had a question about speakers for a new vinyl player that I just recently got.
You got a vinyl record player.
Yep.
Wow. You know, for the first time ever, vinyl records outsold CDs in Great Britain this year. They're coming back.
Actually, it seems like everybody's got something with one on it.
Actually, they're not coming back. CDs are going away, but they're coming back. So your record player, is it a traditional record player? Does it have a USB interface? How does it?
It's got a USB interface. It's a Audio Technica LP120.
So the old record players, you may remember, you had to hook them up to your stereo. I'm sorry, your hi-fi. You had to hook it up to the phonograph input on the hi-fi because it had an unbalanced input. It had to have a special input. And if that's how your new Audio Technica works, I bet it doesn't. You'll need to have speakers that have basically a phono preamp for the speakers. What is the output on those speakers? Does it have just regular RCA jacks outputs, or what does it have?
It has RCA jacks.
Okay. I'm not so that's the first thing you have to find out. Is it a phono output or is it a regular line level output? What is it? Is it balanced or unbalanced? I'll tell you what I love. And I don't know if JBL is selling these anymore, but I bought it because if I ever had a turntable, I would be able to hook it up to this because it has a phono input like your old-fashioned stereo did. What did they call this? I can't remember the name. But it was an all-in-one. speaker unit that was designed to look like the old JBL Century speakers that every radio station had, and it had a phono input on it. If you just could use regular speakers, I presume you'd want powered speakers, then I would probably get the Audio Engine powered speakers. You can buy them with a subwoofer. Sound quality is excellent. For powered speakers, it's about as good as you can get. I mean, really, a phonograph is designed to use with a hi-fi, right? With a preamp and an amplifier and speakers. You don't have that, right?
No.
Yeah. And I don't know if this Audio Technica, I would imagine if they're selling it today, they're assuming no one else has a hi-fi either. So you probably don't need a phono connection. You probably can just plug it into any powered speakers. The reason you need powered speakers is because I'm presuming the turntable doesn't have an amplifier in it. Not much of an amplifier anyway.
Yeah.
So get powered speakers. You don't get wireless, get wired. Wireless never sounds as good as wired. And I love the Audio Engines. You can get the two little speakers for left and right, and then you get a good subwoofer. And it is for powered speakers, it's as good as you can get. I think they sound very, very good. There are lots of companies that make these, of course, but that's my favorite.
Okay.
And you got vinyl because you want it to sound good, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So let's get it. Let's do it. It has USB out for the computer, but I don't know what it does to power speakers. My guess is it has just a regular line level out. You need to find that out in the manual. If it needs a phono out, then these JBLs will be great. And the sound quality, I'm really pleased with them. And I can't remember the name, but I'm going to find it for you. And I'll put it in the show notes. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Enjoy your vinyl. What records are you going to listen to on those?
I've got quite a few of them. I just got a Frank Sinatra from the thrift store a couple days ago.
And nice.
I also got the Cars self-titled.
So it's not just your old collection. It's new stuff, too.
Oh, yeah. No, I've got new stuff, too.
So it's line level balanced. Okay. So then that means you can hook it up to any powered speakers, and that's exactly then what you'd want.
Okay.
Good. Sounds fun. I bought this JBL thing. What is it called? And I think they've actually since discontinued it. I wish I could remember the name of it. It'll come to me. Well, you know what? I think I have the app because it has an app. I think I have the app on my phone. That probably will say what it is. What's neat? It was JBL released them as kind of a special thing. No, it's not set up. Because they were commemorating these great JBL speakers that I used for years. And it'll come to me. Somebody in the chat room will remember. David in El Paso, Texas is next. Hi, David. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo.
Welcome.
Thank you for taking my phone call.
My pleasure. What can I do for you?
Okay, so I recently had my internet connection upgraded, my bandwidth.
Yeah.
With AT&T.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was running into the phone.
Okay.
And they provided me with a new access point. It's a PACE 5268 AC.
Okay.
And I'm having trouble putting it in bridge mode.
Ah.
And it doesn't seem like there's no checkbox for that in the interface.
So you have your own wireless router or some router that you want to use.
I want the option.
Yeah, and the problem is that this new router that they gave you is this new modem that they gave you also has a router built in, and this is kind of what they're doing now, and I don't like it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they even have Wi-Fi and a router built in, and usually the one you get from your ISP isn't as good as the one you might want to go out and buy yourself. So when people get this system, what they do is they disable. In the cable modem or the DSL, it's a DSL modem in this case, but in the DSL modem, they disable two things, the wireless, they turn off the Wi-Fi, turn off the radios, and then they like to disable the routing portion of it, which is sometimes called DHCP, Dynamic Host Configuration Protocol, or NAT, Network Address Translation. If you disable it, you're putting it in bridge mode, which means it turns it back into a dumb modem, which is what you want. And then you're going to get a nice fancy router that is much better and you control, et cetera, et cetera. That's generally how you want to do it. Mm-hmm. You've logged into this and you can't get it in a bridge mode. And now I'm seeing in the chat room, they say you can't. It's the way these things work. So that's annoying, but that's the way AT&T wants it, apparently. And there are reasons for that. You're using UVerse?
I am.
Yeah, that's why. If you use your own routing, they lose control of things like QoS to make sure your TV gets the best signal, et cetera, et cetera. So in other words, you can't.
It's interesting because I've been on the forums online, and I know that I believe I found the wiki for Sonic for this exact model. And when you log into the interface, it does have a checkbox for that. But for mine, it doesn't.
Yeah.
But it's a different ISP.
Guess why? Take a wild, wild guess why that checkbox is not there. Because AT&T took it out. They've modified it, I'm sorry to say. This is not unusual. And it's because you're getting UVerse service. And frankly, it's not unreasonable. They want to. They need to control it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Bad news, sorry. I have the same problem with a Comcast router. Get this one. You'll love this. So I have a Comcast router. And because I have business class, you can only put it in bridge mode if you pay him an extra $18 a month for a static IP address. They basically say, yeah, you want that feature? $18 a month.
Yeah, I think AT&T does offer that. But
So you pay him. And you may not want to, though. You're getting UVerse TV, right?
No.
Oh, well, you're not.
We have direct TV, but it's
that's
not
different.
A bundle. Everything
okay.
is separate.
Yeah, that's
so
different.
Right. So when this thing happened, all we were supposed to do is just touch the internet connection, nothing else.
Yeah, well. So you called them and they said, yeah, give us more money. We'll let you do that?
Well, no. That's what I saw on the forum.
Yeah.
When I talked to the tech, he said that there's a separate line I can call for AT&T tech support, but it's $49 to get help with that. For them to tell you how to put it in bridge mode.
That just pisses me off.
Yeah, me too.
It just really pisses me off.
But I've been all over the forums, and I think there are ways that people get an effective bridge mode, but there's no one.
Like DMZ or...
Right.
Yeah, and there was the same thing for that Comcast modem. There was a very elaborate thing that I tried, and it never really worked right. And the problem with you doing... Here's the thing with the Comcast, and I bet it's the same in the AT&T. You do that... And then the AT&T techs notice, and they remotely reset it.
Oh, really?
Well, that was what happened. That was the problem with the Comcast. If you did this thing, they would notice you changed the configuration, and they would blast you down new firmware and put it back to the way it was. So that's my suspicion is anything you did like that, they do the same thing because they want to control it. It's really frustrating. Internet service providers are out of control in this country. And the ones that are most out of control are the ones that are most monopolistic, like Comcast and AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
They have that monopolistic mindset. They're not designed for people like us who want control of our system.
And I looked at what my options are locally here, and we have Spectrum, but I Googled them, and I don't know if it's just a local thing, but I didn't get really positive feedback from what people were saying about them. But I don't think this would be the issue with them because they would just give you a DOCSIS modem, correct?
In most cases, like for instance, that would be the solution for me with Comcast is they do allow you to replace the business class modem with a standard DOCSIS modem that doesn't do anything but be a modem, and that you'd have to check. But presumably that's what Spectrum would do. They give you one, or you could buy, and I would always do this, buy your own, get an Aeris surfboard,
mm-hmm.
and just use that. And it's dumb. It doesn't do anything.
Right.
And that's what you want because there's all – well, for instance, I was just playing with the new Google Wi-Fi, and it says turn off the routing in your modem because – we can't do any of the cool stuff we do unless we're in charge, we need to be doing the routing and the Google Wi-Fi stuff. But I don't have that option.
I don't know if you can speak to, if you can say it, but can you say anything about like the quality of Spectrum as far as the service and the customer service and all that? Cause I have an option still to go with them because I'm still within my 45 days to cancel this connection with AT&T without a termination fee.
Good news. I do not have Spectrum. Let me ask the chat room. There are people out there who have it. You know, they just acquired Time Warner, so they're in a growth mode, which a lot of times is a bad thing.
Okay.
One of the reasons we often think that Comcast has terrible customer service is they acquired so many ISPs, each with their own different computer system, that none of them work together. And so it's really lent Comcast a very bad name. But is Spectrum been in your neighborhood for a while? It's not. This wasn't a Time Warner acquisition, right?
It was Time Warner. They just recently started showing up.
Okay. So
about a month or two.
Time Warner cable was pretty good. Their internet was really good. And see, that's the problem is even with a cable provider, it's very much dependent on the locale. So it could be that you've got plenty of bandwidth to the head end, you know, that there's not very many people using it and you're going to get great service. I don't think that you can say globally Spectrum is bad. One of our NetLaw BMG in our chat room says, I'm on Time Warner Spectrum and using my own modem for about a year. It works great. Spectrum has cut back on the deals here in Time Warner territory, but they're giving 110 internet where it used to be 15.1 for the same price. All the cable providers are doing that. They're upgrading, not only upgrading to DOCSIS 3, but they're putting more bandwidth in there, which is good. I think you're probably going to be better off. In general, I would say you're always better off with a cable provider than with a DSL provider.
Okay.
They can just give you more bandwidth. And since you would be able to use your own modem with the Spectrum, you'd be solving this bridging problem.
Right. And I just didn't want to be, because it's a hassle to have to cancel service and get someone else out.
I know. It's the worst. Most of the time, the cable companies now don't roll a truck. That's expensive. So they'll do a self-install. Ask them if they have a self-install. They just send you the box. And, it makes it very easy. You don't have some guy tramping around.
I might do that. Otherwise, I'm stuck.
Yeah, call Spectrum. Say, what modems can I use? Can I do a self-install?
Okay.
That's the easiest way to do it. And the nice thing is, since it's cable, not phone, you're not going to lose your AT. You could actually overlap. So you could get the Spectrum installed, see how it works before you cancel AT&T.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Right? Because it's different. If it's different copper in the house, you're using your phone lines right now.
Right, right. Well, apparently, yeah, I guess it's to a point, and then it goes to fiber, right?
Cause that's Yeah, because they've upgraded. But it's still a different pipe into your house, so you can have both. So since you've got a little time to cancel AT&T, I would say, maybe this is a good time to just try Spectrum, see how it works.
That's a good idea.
You haven't made a commitment at that point.
Okay. Well, Leo, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. I've listened to you for several years, and I've learned a ton from you.
Thank you.
I appreciate your show.
Well, we're all in this together. I feel like it's, you know, like the chat rooms. It's like a user group, David.
Yeah, and I'm in there now, and they've actually been really helpful in the past.
Yeah, the chat room's fantastic. They're smart people.
They are.
Yeah, and so it's like having a bunch of extra people. For me, it's huge. Because we don't have Spectrum here. We have Comcast. I could tell you everything you want to know about Comcast.
Oh, we're not here.
The good news is Spectrum doesn't have bandwidth caps yet. Comcast does.
Right.
Yeah, no, everybody has one and only one. In almost every case, you have one choice of cable provider. They're monopolies.
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty, sir.
Have fun, David.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, the Authentics. That's it. It's the JBL Authentics. Oh, I love this. Is it still available? Yes. Good. I love this speaker. Now, it's not, doesn't have a sub, doesn't have great stereo separation. It's pretty big. That's like 2 feet long. It has tweeters and mid-range drivers. But it has a phono input, which is awesome. Plus, it's got that great vintage look. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, vinyl records, internet service providers, and all that jazz. 8888. Ask Leo. That's the phone number, 888-827-5536. We had a caller before the break who just got a vinyl turntable, and he's looking for speakers to power it. And unless you, I mean, my recommendation, if you're going to do, if you're going to go get a vinyl turntable and listen to records, you might as well get a stereo, get a hi-fi, hook it up. Older turntables had to have a special phono, an unbalanced phono connection. The newer turntables, like the one our caller bought, just can hook up to powered speakers. It has just a regular balanced output. But if you have an older turntable, I mentioned that I have these wonderful JBL speakers that I just love, that JBL put out to kind of honor their classic JBL Century speakers at every radio station I worked in. For many decades, had these beautiful JBL Century speakers. I don't think they use them anymore, but I grew up with that sound, and JBL is a unique sound. They sell these. They're called the Authentics, JBL Authentics, and they have the Century grill on them. They're kind of an homage. A little expensive. They're $1,000, but it's basically a stereo system in a box. 300 watts of power. It's a three-way system. It's got tweeters and mid-size, mid-range woofers, but it has a phono preamp built in. So it's turntable ready. It also has Apple's AirPlay. It has DLNA for Android devices. It has Bluetooth. It is the most comprehensive collection of connectors, including optical connectors, which I use the Chromecast audio for, and Bluetooth and wired. So you can connect everything. And turntables. And it sounds great. I don't know if it's audiophile, but you put it on your bookshelf with your turntable there, and I think you're going to get a great sound. It's a little pricey, I acknowledge. And I'm glad to say they're still making them. JBL was acquired some time ago by Harman. You might remember the name from the Harman Kardon speakers. And Harman was just acquired by, get ready for it, Samsung. So these are Samsung, I guess. I don't know if Samsung is yet, if the acquisition has gone through yet. But JBL is Harman and Harman is Samsung. So these are Samsung speakers. I hope that means they'll have money to keep making these, because I just love this speaker. It is completely ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. It's big. There's nowhere to put it, really. And it's not, there's no subwoofer. There's no, the stereo separation isn't great. It's just a couple of feet. But I blast this speaker and I just feel like I'm back in the old radio station. It sounds good. So that's what I was trying to remember the name. JBL Authentics, that's the name. And I have the 16, which is the larger of the two. And they still sell them. Arnie is on the line from Atlanta, our next caller. Hi, Arnie. Leo Laporte, hey, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a long-time listener. I have a suspicion that I might have fallen into the dark patterns problem.
I was talking about this great website, darkpatterns.org, earlier, where you could see all the tricks that marketers do to get you to buy more stuff than you want.
Right. So my passport ran out, and I had to renew my passport online, so I Googled passport forms.
Oh, you went, it wasn't the U.S. government, was it?
No, I didn't go there, right. So it says, oh, you can get this one that can fill it out for you.
Yeah.
You fill it out online.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's really, really cool. So I went to pdffiller.com. See?
Okay.
And I filled it out. It looked really nice, exactly. And then you go to print it, and it said, oh, you got to pay us something to print this. And then there's some kind of a little box on the bottom, I think, where it says you have to agree to a recurring payment.
Oh, my gosh. That. You're subscribing to a PDF reader.
Yeah, exactly. So I figured that out. I didn't get into that.
Good.
Ball of wax. But I paid him like $9 or something like that. Well, anyway, that, I look at my cloud and my hard disk on my Apple iMac, and I see I need to print out some PDF forms, and I go to print out the PDF form, and lo and behold, I get a box that comes up, and this is what the box says. It says a suite product activation needed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Adobe Acrobat was installed.
Oh!
A suite unable to to enable Adobe.
Get rid of it. You don't even need it on a Macintosh.
Really?
Yeah, Preview does all that stuff.
Preview?
Yeah, it's built into the Macintosh. I shouldn't laugh. This is terrible. You got suckered.
I got suckered into it. And every time I, you know, they says I have to put on another member of the Adobe suite, like a Photoshop, which is like how many thousand?
No, no, you don't want any of that stuff. So you can get rid of it. So there's two things you'll have to do. First of all, in your applications folder,
yeah,
you'll find there's probably an Adobe folder. You don't have any other Adobe applications?
No.
Okay, so there's nothing to save. Get rid of the Adobe folder, but then you'll also have to find it. It's in your there are various startup folders on the Macintosh because it's starting up a little stub every time you reboot, and you want to get rid of that too.
Okay, how do you find those?
I usually first of all search for your system folders. There's two system folders. There's a root system folder and one for each account on the computer. And inside there, there'll be application support folder. Look for anything that says Adobe. You can even just use Spotlight and search for the word.
That's what I was thinking.
Yes, use Spotlight. Search for the word Adobe and find it. There. It's around. You're just going to have to. The good thing on the Mac is, it's all in a folder somewhere. You just have to find it.
Okay.
And then you reboot, and one hopes you won't see that in your printer dialog anymore. But what you should do is investigate the program Preview. I think Apple has added form filling to Preview. Let me just check. Because Preview is your Adobe PDF reader. You don't need one on the Macintosh. It comes with one.
My goodness.
Yeah. And
my goodness.
And now but the problem is, first of all, you went to a third party that probably this isn't the – well, I don't know. Did you download the PDF from the government or somebody else's PDF?
They had the form that I needed right on there.
Get it from the passport office, from the U.S.
Oh, I did.
Okay, good.
I did one, when I ran into that crappy thing that happened. And then the other one I had to get from my wife, so I went to the one that's at the State Department.
That's the one you want.
I know, but that's the one. They don't have autofill.
So I
did it by hand. It was easy.
Yeah. So Preview doesn't – so there's different levels of form filling. There is a very elaborate form filling capability in PDF, but it requires you to use the Adobe program to fill it out.
I see.
And occasionally I will get these, and it just annoys the heck out of me because then I have to download Adobe Reader to do it. And so listen up, folks, especially the federal government. You shouldn't be using that.
Only go to the State Department.
Get it from the State Department. And if it is the State Department doing it, then you shouldn't be creating forms, and I don't think they are, that require a commercial product to fill out.
No, I knew I was had because
you were had.
Because the State Department wouldn't.
No, they wouldn't. I would hope not.
Everything looked so good on the screen, and then I go to print it,
that's very frustrating. No, that's this third party program.
Right.
So you can use Preview. It's on your Mac. It's in
applications.
Yeah, it's in the applications, and it's a great little program. By default, it's what should launch when you double click a PDF file. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, that's just not, I'm not sure exactly what happened. If you search for, passport renewal,
right,
you're going to find on the web all these commercial services that do it for you.
Exactly.
And they, who knows, they may even have a deal with Adobe, right? They may, they may kick back $5 of the $10. You should never have to pay to print out a PDF. That's ridiculous.
I'm telling you. And what about this program somebody told me about, PDF Expert 2?
Here's the thing. I would not recommend buying anything until you find out that you can't use the built-in capability.
Exactly.
Okay?
Got it.
And then Smile Software makes my favorite PDF program. smilesoftware.com. If you're going to buy one, get it from them. They're an app. They're a Mac applications developer. They're very good. They make it's a little expensive. They have PDF Pen and they for $75 and PDF Pen Pro.
Yeah. But first, I got to get rid of this little.
Get rid of that. Now, Adobe, if it is all Adobe, Adobe does make a cleaner. You could search for Adobe Cleaner, and I think they have a cleaner app. Something in the chat room just said they have a. We'll put the link in the show notes. There's an app that Adobe puts out for getting rid of this stuff. It's an Adobe. Let me see if it works on the Mac. Thank you. It's from CCC. Let me see if it works on the Mac, though, because Adobe
Leah.
Acrobat, Adobe Reader and Acrobat Cleaner tool. Well, at least, that might be the solution. We'll put that at techguylabs.com. That comes from Adobe Labs.
You.
You're welcome. Yeah, I'm sorry. But it's easy to get sucked in, isn't it?
Suckered. Yeah. Unbelievable.
And the problem is people, this happens all the time because we're in a hurry. You Google something, you found a link, top link. Okay, I'm going to use that.
Yeah.
And you don't really realize what's going on until it's too late.
Exactly. Well, thanks. I think a lot of people.
No, I'm glad you called.
When I hear about that.
I guarantee you, you're not alone on this.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Appreciate
take care.
It.
Bye,
all
David.
Right.
Take
bye-bye.
Care. I mean, Arnie. David's next. Thank you, Arnie.
Okay, bye.
David on the line. I'm not sure where you're calling. Where are you calling from, David?
Venice Beach.
Nice to talk to you. What can I do for you?
Well, I have a problem with my tower. About 3 weeks ago, I started making a lot of loud noises. I mean, the fans are starting to turn fast. So I cleaned up my computer with a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
It was much weak. And then started doing the loud noises again. I mean, just like the vents are loud. I was wondering if I need to know something.
Yeah, well, a Windows machine?
Yes.
Periodically, we see this on laptops, but I don't see any reason why it wouldn't happen on desktops, too. Periodically, you'll get a update to a machine that will make the fans louder. It could be that that's happened, that, you know, in other words, that's one of the things that an operating system can change with an update. It also could be your fans are wearing out. They get louder sometimes, not because they're working harder, but because the bearings are wearing out. So that would be another thing. You did the first thing I would have suggested, which was cleaning the computer. Over time, desktop computers especially, you know, almost all desktop computers have airflow through them. So there's an intake and an exhaust port. And so you're drawing air in and blowing it over the processors and the GPU, the stuff that gets hot, the hard drives, and then blowing it out again. A well-designed case will do that, has a very clear airflow. In fact, it's one of the things I look for in a well-designed case or a well-designed computer is you can see if, I wouldn't recommend this, but if you blew smoke into the computer, what you'd like to see is a very clear flow, like a river of air. But some cases are poorly designed, and you get turbulence, and you just get eddies, and that's not cooling it very well. But let's assume that you've got a nice case that's blowing air in a nice stream through from taking it in, blowing it out the back. It's also taking in dust, particles, dog hair, whatever is out there, and eventually, in as little as 6 months, you're going to get a blanket of dust inside that computer, and that actually insulates it and gets it hot. So you did the right thing on a desktop. It's an easy thing to do. It's not so easy on a laptop, and I'm not sure I'd recommend it on a laptop. But on a desktop, open up the case and clean it. Make sure that there isn't a blanket of dust heating things up. You also want to make sure that the fans are drawing properly and blowing properly. Now, if the fan is wearing out and its bearings, sometimes it'll rattle or they'll just get noisier, whinier. It might be time to change the fans. And that's an easy thing to do. You can look my recommendation, if you're going to change the fans, is get good fans. Go to PC Power and Cooling or one of those places that makes good fans, Corsair, and get fans with large blades. They can run slower and quieter because they move more air. So the bigger the fan, the better. They're usually quiet because they're big. They don't have to. They can rotate more lazily and move just as much air. So it may be that your firmware is doing it. In which case, not much you can do. You've already cleaned it, which is the most likely cause. So the third cause, possible cause, is just the fans are wearing out, but easy and inexpensive to replace those. You'll see they're just connected to the motherboard with a little wire. Make a note of where they're connected. You can usually remove them with four or five screws, put a new one in there. And do not put a blanket over your computer, somebody's suggesting. Do not do that. Do not do that. Next on the line here, it's Chris in Miami. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Leo. Thanks for taking the call.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling.
So, I wanted to, well, are you still doing advertisements for dried fruit? I don't see it in...
dried fruit?
No salads, no dried fruit.
No, I'm like, dried fruit? I think you're thinking about the Nature Box snacks.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I don't think we've had a Nature Box ad in a while. You know, advertisers come and go, and okay. I think Nature Box is taking some time off. How about that?
Well, they took the. I made sure they took time off from me because they triple charged me once. So,
ooh, ow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, don't go too far ahead, guys. And so now I get my dried fruit from Whole Foods, but whatever. You know, I'm like.
Oh yeah, you're the Whole Foods guy. That's your. By the way, that's who you are now. You understand that you've become the Whole Foods guy.
Well, there's nothing like a salad. I mean, you know, I got to go to Whole Foods. Although your salads were always amazing. I remember you used to bring the salad in the jar.
Yeah, I got tired of those.
Oh, okay.
That was a good, it was a clever idea. I saw it on Pinterest, I think, but I got tired of those. What can I do for you, Chris?
Well, you know, I've been on the phone, of course, with Apple again, I think like most people nowadays. And I'm trying to understand, like I mentioned to Kim a few minutes ago, and that is that, you know, you can back up your iPhone and your Apple Watch and your, you know, to the cloud through the device. But what is the point of not backing it up? You can't back it up through iTunes no more.
I know.
To the cloud, no. To the machine, yes.
You can back up your iPhone to iTunes.
Yeah, but not to the cloud through iTunes. So I asked,
oh, I see what you're saying.
Why is that feature? It says automatically back up iCloud. So Apple says to me this. They said, I said, what is the point of iTunes? And they said, well, iTunes now is a program.
Really? You asked Apple, what is the point of iTunes?
Well, because they throw these cards on the table and you know I'm going to answer them, right?
Well, the poor person answering the phone probably doesn't have an insight into the executive suite, so may not be able to give you a completely comprehensive answer.
Not looking for comprehensive. I went to corporate customer relations.
Oh, good.
The same answer, and that is that it's a program that's now designed to run in the background, only to be used for if you want to listen to music, maybe back up your device to the computer, but really for technical support reasons, it's something that's meant to run in the background. It's not going to change anytime soon.
I just wish Apple would do something about this. It's really a mess. So is your question, how do I back up my music? Is that what you'd like to know?
Well, I can back it up. I wanted to know if there was a way around it and still, if I didn't want to back up my devices to the cloud using my devices and I wanted to still take advantage of this feature in here in iTunes, like it says back.
Any backup that you use that's not Apple's will back up your iTunes backups. So when you connect your phone and it makes a backup, those can be backed up. They're just regular files. And any backup program that you use will back that up. Carbonite will do it, but you have to specifically select them. Any backup program will do that.
Then what's this in here for?
What's iTunes there for? Well, it's what backs up your phone directly. You can't back up your phone or your computer directly without iTunes. So you connect your iPhone. And generally, for most people, when you connect your iPhone to iTunes, the first thing it does, if you watch, is it backs up your phone. If that's not turned on, turn that on. I get so many calls from people who say, oh, my phone, I lost my phone or it died and I had all my pictures on there. Please, turn that on. And I do prefer that than backing up to iCloud. It's expensive. It may not always work, the wireless backup. It's convenient, but every once in a while, connect to your computer, back up your phone. That's creating a file, which can then be backed up by any backup program. Actually, when we come back, I'll tell you the latest thing I've been doing that I really, really like. A backup solution you can do yourself. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. The Gizwiz is coming up in about 15 minutes. A rare Sunday appearance from Dick DiBartolo. But first, Michael in Santa Monica. Hello, Michael.
Hi, I have a question about trying to read a comic book digitally. This is my first attempt to use Kindle.
Yeah.
So
Kindle would not be my first choice for reading a comic book.
Gotcha.
Well, me neither. I wanted to try something new, though, just to try the platform. And I wanted to be able to basically, I'm using the comic book as for a research project.
Okay.
So I wanted the digital asset to kind of like.
Are you using a Kindle reader or are you using the Kindle app on a tablet?
I'm on a MacBook Pro OS.
Oh, okay.
And I've attempted to use two different platforms, both provided and created by Amazon. One is the OS X app that Amazon creates. The other is the in Chrome browser.
Right.
Version of viewing it as well. And I've had a few calls with their customer service. And basically, I want to zoom in on a page because I can't read the words.
Right.
And it's not a vision thing for me. I mean, if I was holding a comic book, it'd be fine. It's just that...
that's how you do it at a comic book, right? You go panel to panel and you zoom in. That's how you want to read it, right?
Yeah, and most pages are fine. It's like one out of four or five pages because the way the book is laid out, there are black void spaces that whoever scanned this thing all at once into a program forgot to zoom in on.
It stinks. So this is why how attached are you using the Kindle?
I've never used a Kindle. I mean, not
all
a
right.
physical one.
So there's a program I would recommend that's so much better, also owned by Amazon, by the way.
All right.
Called Comixology. Do you know about Comixology?
I feel like I saw that word at some point during my purchase process.
Yeah. So Kindle is really designed for text, not illustrations.
Mm-hmm.
And Comixology, when you read a comic book, it'll zoom to each panel. In order, it's just like how you would read a comic book. It's made for comic books.
Right, right.
And you can buy, it has a comic book store in it, but this sounds like you have a specific book you're trying to read.
Yeah. I'm trying to do kind of an infographic of like the top level deities in the Marvel Universe and organize that. So I'm trying to have those assets available right there to play with. Amazon. Like the images and the text are important, I guess, and it's... I would say
check out Comixology.
Comixology, better zoom, and I can use it on my laptop.
Yeah, it's the engine. Even, you know, there companies like Marvel have their own app, and it's the Comixology app that they've bought, you know, licensed. This is the comic book reading app.
Okay, so I've just been going the wrong way to try.
Yeah, don't try to do it on a Kindle. Now, the Marvel, if Marvel's what you want, the Marvel app, which is also Comixology, has a unlimited reading subscription, too. I mean, that might be the better choice for you.
For their whole library?
I think so. I'm not a comic book fan.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. It's called Marvel Unlimited, so that implies it says 17,000 plus digital comics for $10 a month. That implies it's a mall. I don't know.
You may be on something there. Okay,
and it's Comixology. I'm pretty sure. I seem to remember they're using the Comixology player to do it. It's really a good way to read. So that's marvel.com/comics/unlimited. Or just go to marvel.com.
And if I've already purchased it, can I? Well, I guess.
Well, no.
Yeah. All right.
No.
Yeah,
but
okay.
No, I'm sorry. But you know, this is if you like comics. This is the way to go. Now, I am not a comic fan. I have a misspent youth. I didn't read comics. But I have many friends who are massive comic fans, and they love this.
Right. Yeah, I'm sort of a writer, and I like studying story and mythology, and I'm using comics as a window.
Perfect.
Into that.
Perfect.
So it's in the same sense, maybe that'll help. So yeah.
Save the Kindle for your Joseph, books?
Joseph Campbell.
Campbell books. That's perfect for Joseph Campbell, but when you want to read graphic novels or you want to read comics, you really want to use Comixology.
Well, that could be a game changer for this whole project.
I think you'll be very happy.
Thank you very much.
All right. My pleasure. Yeah, Annual Plus, if you get this, is $99 a year for everything. It makes me want to read comics. it's pretty impressive. I guess there's people, comic book people really want the paper, you know, and you like going to the comic book store and the guy behind the counter, you don't have DC 53, well, you got to get that one. But it's not a social event for you, it's not a physical paper thing for you, it's clearly the most affordable way to read comics. And, you know, it's the colors are vibrant and bright and all of that. Comixology, and then if you're a Marvel Universe guy, go to marvel.com. they've really done a nice job. I'm told. Patrick in Oxnard, California. Hi, Patrick.
Hello.
Fort, the tech guy. Hello.
My Android is slow. Is it inherent to Android, or what's going on?
I can barely make you out. What's going on, Patrick? The phone is a little muffled.
Slow Android.
I got that. Slow Android. Well, who's your phone company?
Net10.
Yeah, it's probably them. You got a pay as you go phone, and I would guess that one of the things they do to save a little money to reduce the amount of data you suck is to not be so fast. So, you know, go into the phone store and, that's one way to do it. Go into the phone store and compare your phone to another phone and see if it's a lot faster. But if it's an older phone, maybe that's one of the problems. If it's not working completely right, or most likely because it's pay-as-you-go, they're not giving you the fastest bandwidth. They control that, you know. Hey, I promised I would talk about this new backup solution I'm using, and it works really well for Mac, but also for Windows, also for Linux. I went out and bought a NAS, a network. We've talked a lot about NASs, network attached storage, and I have recommended in the past a company called Synology. They make really very powerful, very nice NASs, and I'm very pleased to say, I don't know why I hadn't done this before. You know, I have Carbonite and I have Drobos and I have all sorts of ways of backing up, but it's kind of a hodgepodge, right? So I went out and I got a Synology disk station. It has five drives in it, three terabytes, two terabytes. So that's 9 plus 4 is 13. But then I turned on redundancy. So I got about 8 or 9 terabytes available storage. That's a lot. And then you put the software on each computer and it automatically backs up. But I didn't realize this, and this, you know, that's every NAS will do that. And that's my recommendation. If you don't want to pay Apple or Dropbox or somebody else for the expense of the cloud, have it in your own house. What I didn't realize is you could have a second Synology at work, have them synchronize automatically. So then you'd have an off-site solution. And they have a very nice replacement for Evernote. You want to host your own notebooks, images, sound, text, and not put it on somebody else's servers because you're paranoid or because you just want to control your data. You can do that. I'm replacing Evernote with it's called DS Note that's built into Synology. And then they also have a Dropbox replacement, a sync solution, which I'm using, so I don't have to store my data in Dropbox. It's very impressive. We've talked about it before. It can do almost anything. It really is a Linux computer with a ton of storage. So of late, I'm relying less on these third-party paid services and putting more on that big old drive I've got in my office. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. And so I'm very happy with. So I used Let's Encrypt to get me one of them their certificates. So it's https://. There we go. And then I can log into this remotely from anywhere. And I've got the note. I ended up getting the 1515 plus, and I waited too long. I really did. It's just a very nice solution. Let me log in here. One of the nice things that they do with this is I'm logging in, and then it has second factor on it, so I feel even more secure here. Let me just enter in my code here. And then you say trust this drive. And now I'm logged in. Now I'm logging into the Synology. This is the Synology at home. I've got NoteStation, which is basically an Evernote clone, and it has client apps. I can use the web clipper, just like I would with Evernote. I mean, it's basically like Evernote. And then I have the backup solution, too, so you can use the Cloud Station to back up. But what I've been really liking is using the Dropbox clone. So I have now my, I think it's probably been cloned the whole thing by now on here. Hey, Dick DiBartolo.
Hey, Leo. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good, too.
Good. I was using OwnCloud on Adrobo, but it was kind of slow and funky. This is working so much better. So now I have all of my, these are all my documents synced, including all my images and, you know, my Lightroom and all of that synced from my computer at home to the Synology in my home office to my computer here. Whoop, nothing in that one. So that's pretty cool. Yes, I did install the new DSM update. What do you want to talk about, Dickie D? You want to talk about the gadget?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about a couple of games. Also, you know your caller about Spectrum. I had Time Warner.
Yes, you're now Spectrum. And?
Right. And the one thing that I didn't like is that if you had whole house DVR with Time Warner, if you had a service problem when you called in, as soon as the computer recognized your phone number, it put a technician on the call. And so he would talk you right through it. So the last time I had a problem, I called and I got a technician and I said, oh, my gosh, they still have the signature home service. And he said, no. He said, now technicians, if they're not helping another customer, they have to answer all the phones.
Oh,
so he said,
Lord.
You can still get to us, but you'll have to go through a couple of hoops.
Well,
but it's okay. I mean, the service has been pretty
good. How's the quality of the bandwidth? That's the thing the guy was
saying. You know what? I think it's pretty good. Right now, I think it's great.
Good. Yeah, you look good.
Yeah. I added a couple of instruments of my own to the bandwidth. I added a cymbal and a drum, which was $5 each extra a month.
Hold on a second here. Yeah. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. In a very rare, very unusual Sunday appearance, look who's here, our gadget guy, the Giz Whiz himself, Mad Magazine's maddest writer, Dick DiBartolo. You had something going on yesterday.
Yeah, I had a little family reunion.
Oh, how did that go?
It went okay. It went as expected. Now I realize why we do them only every 10 years.
And you had to go to Upper New York State for
yes,
it.
I know. And people are shocked. You know, everybody is like, oh, you came from New York? I would never go to New York. I mean, we're 50 miles away, you know. So I thought, well, let's do this again in another 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. 26. It'll be great. It'll be a great time.
Exactly.
Well, I'm glad you see your family once every decade.
I do. Whether they want me or not, I go up.
Now, Dick is, of course, besides being Mad Magazine's maddest writer, is a crazy gadget hound, and he joins us every week, usually, as I said, on the Saturday show, but we're glad to have him on the Sunday show with a gadget. What do you got for us this week?
Yeah, I have two gadgets to consider for Christmas. One, this is the weirdest game I have ever seen. It was at a Time to Play magazine game roundup. This game is called Speak Out. I have never seen a game where you have to put a device in your mouth. It's kind of like going to the... It's like kind of like going to the dentist. You get a bunch of food-safe plastic rings.
I don't think so. No, no.
Yeah, that's why I said, I'll take a couple rings, but I'm not demonstrating this game. And then you put them in your mouth.
No.
And then you have to say phrases, which are printed on cards. And
no, go ahead and do it. Let me hear it.
No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not.
So you mumble because you've got a piece of plastic in your mouth?
Read the card. Then you have to read the card. I'll do
this. This is the dopiest. Who came up with this?
I have no idea.
What a dopey game.
I have no idea. It's called Speak Out. Okay.
Speak Out.
So a little Speak Out by Hasbro. A little
Hasbro?
Is, yes.
Now, somebody in the chat room is saying, I've seen this game. It's hilarious. I guess people who not speaking clearly, mumbling? Is it? It's like really hard to understand what they're saying. Is that
yes?
The game?
Absolutely, absolutely. On my website, I put a link to their video because I wouldn't do it. I have too much dental work to expose. Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like. That's exactly.
Wait a minute, I gotta find this video. That's
and
crazy.
And the things are like. You have to say marriage vows are frequently broken.
Oh, they give you a weird. They give you weird.
Yes,
yeah.
Bovine Betty's milk.
So this is a. I think this. They got inspired. This is a YouTube game where you put on a headphones with loud music, and somebody says something to you, and you have to lip read it and tell them what they said back, and it's just hilarity ensues.
And okay.
And clearly, this is based on that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well, not so clearly. I mean, I don't know.
No. And on Amazon, there's another game.
You got to be really only play with close family members.
Yes,
I'm
exactly.
Not
exactly.
Do you each get your own appliance?
Yes. Yeah. And I would put them in a dishwasher. I made sure their dishwasher is safe. And it says for ages 16 and up. Now, the guy who gave me these said that they are going to come out with a smaller version for children.
Here they are. This is them doing this.
With answering when you played this new party.
Okay,
game.
So this person.
Hi, this is what you look like.
You look like an idiot because you got this appliance in your mouth. Who doesn't love a good wedgie? On your turn, I got fired from the boy band.
Here you go.
Now watch. She's gonna. The thing opens your. This is like creepy. She's gonna say the weatherman wishes for wealth. What?
Your teammates must correctly guess what you're saying in order to earn the card. You can repeat the phrase.
And the game takes about 9 hours.
Yeah.
You can also pass if your team.
Oh, that's not hilarious. That's just horrible.
Yeah.
This is anyway, this is like when the dentist tries to have a conversation.
Yes, exactly.
With you.
Exactly.
So what do you think about them 49ers? You
could probably do it by putting 5 spoons in your mouth and then saying, you know, read this. The other thing is a little saying it's a new version of Simon. Remember Simon, one of the first electronic
games? Love Simon.
You would hit the different colors.
Love Simon. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. Now they have Simon Air. So the game does the flashing, and then you just run your hand over the colors, and the game senses where your hand is, and you play Simon that way.
Is there anything you put in your mouth, though?
You could put Simon in your mouth.
I'm
you
only
really
giving
a
I'm,
big.
Only giving games you put in your mouth this holiday season.
Oh, that's a great
idea.
And you know what's great about that is next year no one will want a gift from
yes.
you.
Yes. So it's like, why does, just out of curiosity, and maybe there's a dentist listening who can explain this.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Why do you start up conversations after? You've got our mouth stuffed with cotton and propped wire. I think they just think it's funny. I bet you go to dentist.
Yes, I think you're right. They put 9 things in and they go, is that comfortable?
Yeah. I bet they go to dentist conventions and they laugh about all the things they did.
You know what? They probably should start secretly recording them.
Maybe they are.
And then
are.
Have the dentist YouTube
dental
channel.
Dental tube.
Right.
Yeah.
Dental tube.
All right. So if you want to watch this video, Dick's got it at gizwiz.biz. Click the link that says the Gizwiz visits the tech guy. While you're there, there's another link you might want to try out, the What the Heck Is It contest. Now, you can't, by the way, you should save that appliance, and in a few years, that would be an excellent.
Oh, that's fit to use.
Excellent
right.
close-up, because he takes a close-up of a gadget, and no one will know that that's what this. I don't know what this is. Some pink thing. I have some thoughts, but I don't want to say them on the radio without getting in trouble with the FCC. Anyway, if you get the 10, there's 12 Mad Magazines for the right answer, 24 for the wrong answer. So you pick one and send, the whole rules are there at gizwiz.biz.
Yes, exactly.
And it's autographed by Dickie D. You're going to get the end of the
February
year.
February issue.
20 dumbest people, events, and things of 2016.
With a 6-page Sully Takeoff by Dick D.
Oh, yeah. So Dick's famous for his movie parodies. And you did Sully, huh?
I did Sully because we timed it to come out when the DVD is coming out.
What did you? Yeah. But you didn't call it Sully. You have to have a name.
Well, we called it Silly.
Silly, perfect.
Silly, yeah. And I called him instead of I called him Captain Sullen because
he never smiles.
Yeah, you know David Pogue. He's been on your show.
Love
right?
David Pogue. Yes.
The other day, out of the blue, he just posted, "Oh my gosh, I just read Sully, and that's the funniest thing I've seen in years."
I can't wait. Get the new Mad Magazine. 20 dumbest things of 2016. It is not the most enticing cover I've ever seen.
No, that's true. That-
Dick D, great to see you on a Sunday. Gizwiz.biz.
Yes, I'll be back to my own haunt Saturday.
Yeah, we'll see you next week. Thank you, Dickie D.
Bye.
I only have a minute left. I bet you I just don't have enough time to take another call, and I apologize because I've got Chris and Kathy and Greg on the line, and I'm just not going to get to you. Next week, I'll be back, same time, same channel. We could talk again. And please do call back. And Kim, if you get their names or whatever, so we can get them to the front of the line next time. I apologize. You can find everything I mentioned on the show, links to everything, Dick's website and more, at our website. That's techguylabs.com. That's the only thing you have to remember. Everything's there. The phone number, the chat room. The answers to every question. We even put the audio and the video of the shows after the fact. Yeah, we do video too. Nothing more gripping than watching some guy do a radio show. Just talk and talk and talk. But we make video. Thanks to Michael Cozio and Crystal, who were our joint musical directors today. Kim Schaffer on the phones. Thanks most especially to you for being here. Please come back. Let's do this again. I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Have a great geek week. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy Show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows on the Netcast Network. It's called TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on. And on. You even get your daily dose of tech news with Tech News Today. And of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guy show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.